Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for each person here today. I want to thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you in this open setting and for the health that is here. Father, I ask that you open the hardest of hearts today, that you soften them. Father, I ask that you give me your words, that it's not my own words, but it's your words, that if I say anything that's not of you, that it falls on deaf ears. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, church. It is great to be here, and I feel blessed that we can be here. I got some friends and stuff that I've talked to that they've had COVID going through their church so heavily that they've actually had to cancel church again. And so just count our blessings that God has continued to bless us in these ways. 10 years ago last month is the first time that I truly said yes to Jesus. 10 years ago last month was the first time that I said 100% to going into ministry. 10 years ago last month was the first time that I truly experienced the freedom of God's grace in my life. 10 years ago last month was the first time I didn't feel bitterness, shame, and guilt as I walked throughout life. That I knew the price had already been paid. That was 10 years ago last month. Makes me wonder what I did with the first 20. 22. I'm going to tell you, my life has changed forever because of that. I'm not saying I didn't go to church beforehand or any of those things. Because let me tell you, grace is not a reward for just giving to the poor. Grace is not a reward for going to church, for teaching in Sunday school, for giving to the church. Grace is not a reward for being a good person, working in the soup kitchen, or any of those things. Grace, though, by definition, the Holman Bible Dictionary puts it greatly, it's an undeserved acceptance and love received from another. That key word there is undeserved. I think we miss that a lot of times. It's not something we can earn. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tells us, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is a gift from God, not from works, so that no one can boast." Romans 11, 6 even tells us, "Now if by grace, then it is not by works. Otherwise, grace ceases to be grace." So if it's something you can earn, it's not grace. And God's grace is shown throughout the Old and New Testament. A lot of times when we look at the Bible, we look at the Old Testament as the book of laws, and you had to do all of this, and then the New Testament is the grace, and I'm here to tell you, God's grace is shown through both the Old and the New. And it's consistent throughout it as well. In the Old Testament, we see the story of Noah, and we see that mankind's wickedness had set in to the point that God was about ready to destroy the entire world. Yet it tells us in Genesis 6, verse 8, Noah, however, found favor with the Lord. That's grace. And by no way was Noah a perfect man. He was just simply trying to pursue God. The Israelites repeatedly rebelled against God. Repeatedly continued to go against him. And yet he was gracious through them, kept his promises. It tells us in Judges 10:16, he could bear Israel's misery no longer. I looked through the Old Testament and I was trying to keep track of how many times the Israelites were grumbling against God, how many times they broke his commandments, worshiped false idols, turned their backs on him. And let me tell you, I lost count real quickly. Time and time again, when they turned away from God and did whatever they wanted, they lost God's protection, they suffered, there was massive consequences for their actions. And yet, whenever we returned to God and begged for him to rescue him, God would do it. And he did it over and over. Were there sometimes lasting consequences for their action? Absolutely. But yet, God was always gracious to Israel, always restored Israel. And yet we do the same thing today. We're no different. Oftentimes that we find ourselves in a loop. We're stuck. We've got a sin in our lives that we just won't let go. Maybe it's an anger towards someone, bitterness that we're holding on to, but we won't let go. We don't allow God's grace to take over. You know, how often do we turn our backs on God when things get hard? Or the one that I think we see even more so in America than anywhere else, how often do we turn our backs and forget about God when things are going well? We just get into that groove of life and we just allow God to become a second thought. Life's going good. What do I need God for? Yet every time when we turn back to Him, He forgives us. He shows us grace. In Matthew 18, 21 through 35 is the main text for today, and anybody who wants to follow along. That's Matthew 18, 21 to 35. Then Peter approached him and asked, "Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? As many as seven times?" "I tell you, not as many as seven times," Jesus replied, "but 70 times 7. And when the king began to settle accounts, who owed him 10,000 talents was brought before him. Now, when we look at verse 24, a lot of the times, we don't think about 10,000 as a large number. 10,000 in our society is something that just, it's there. But the truth of the matter is, 10,000 talents was a lot. Let me give you a little bit of information on those 10,000. That would be equivalent to about $4.5 billion in today's society. It's a lot of money. 10,000 talents was more money than was circulating all of Palestine at the time when Jesus is talking. This was more than their entire economy in that area. The people would have been shocked to hear that amount. It would have been inconceivable at the amount that they're talking about. This also showed that this was a gracious king. This is a king who loved his servants, who held nothing back from them. The fact that he was willing to give that much shows the love and mercy that he had. And that's what God does for us. He gives us more than what we ever deserve. He hands us more than we could ever need. And the servant had to be wondering, how could I ever repay this debt? Just like we could never repay the debt that Christ paid for us. It continues in verse 25, "Since he did not have the money to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, his children, and everything he had to be sold to pay for that debt. And at this, the servant fell face down before him and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you everything.' Then the master of that servant had compassion and released him and forgave him the loan." Can you imagine the relief of that moment in time? Of knowing that that debt that you can never pay has been wiped clean. This is what Jesus does for each one of us when he hits the cross. He wipes that debt clean. God knows all of our sins. He knows our struggles. He knows what we do when we close the door. He knows how we operate business. He knows how we treat others, even when it's not on Sunday mornings or in front of other people. He knows how we talk about people. He knows all of our flaws and imperfections. Yet, He forgives us. He shows us that grace. He is that King who gives abundantly and also forgives abundantly. The thing is, though, we're called to show that same grace to others. And that's where the challenge oftentimes comes in. I know it's not easy to do. In Matthew 18, 21, if we go back to the beginning of this passage, there's an important part here, and it says that Peter approached him being Jesus, and ask, Lord, how many times must I forgive my brothers or sisters who sin against me? As many as seven times? Now, we may chuckle at the idea of seven times, but we have to understand that the Jewish rabbis of the time, when this was written, were telling people they only needed to forgive three times. After the third, it's done and over. You can just hold that grudge forever. That person must want it. So the fact that Jesus is coming out and saying seven times 70, can you imagine the jaw drop of everybody there? Like, are you kidding me? Peter, I guarantee you, looked shocked. But then I ask myself, why did Peter ask this question? Makes me wonder who in his life kept hurting him. Who in his life caused that pain? And it had to be someone that he loved, for the fact that if he's at seven already, he's continued on. But Peter's looking for an excuse to no longer have to do that. He's looking for an excuse to no longer have to show that grace and mercy. And he's hoping Jesus will give him an out. I mean, we all have people in our lives who've hurt us. Some of us still have people in our lives who are hurting us currently. We all know that we're going to get hurt in this life. It's going to happen. We just hope that it's not from someone we're real close with. I know that if I asked you guys in here, who in here has been hurt by someone, I guarantee you every single hand in here would go up, including mine. We've all been wronged. And I can't tell you how often as a pastor I've sat down with people who are going through situations, telling their stories of how they've been victimized or how they've been hurt, or how they've been mistreated. I've heard stories that I can assure you would break your heart. Ones that make you wonder why. Many of you guys came in here today carrying a weight of something that seriously had been wronged. Maybe it happened this last week, this past year, maybe even years ago. And you just can't let it go. Maybe you were lied to. Maybe you were abused. Maybe you were abandoned as a child. Maybe you had a spouse that cheated on you. Maybe you had a business partner who stole from you. Maybe you had something even way worse. And if I told you right now that you need to forgive them, I already know that many of your responses would be, but you don't know what he did to me. They lied about me over and over again. You can't imagine what I've been through. If you knew what this has done to my family, you'd be angry too. They deserve to suffer like they've made me suffer. The last one, I'm going to make them pay. And you know what? You're right. I don't know the full story. I don't know everything you've been through. I don't know the pain that it has caused you and your family. But Jesus tells us what happens when we don't forgive. In Matthew 18:28, as we continue through this passage, that servant who was just forgiven went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he grabbed him, started choking him, and said, pay what you owe me. And to give you a perspective, this is a servant who just had $4.5 billion or more money than all of Palestine at the time had forgiven. And a denarii was one day's wage. So 100 days' wage is what the other servant owed him. He just had a lifetime, more than a lifetime of wages forgiven. And now he's going after someone who owes him 100 and started choking him. And at this, the fellow servant fell down and began begging him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he wasn't willing. Instead, he went and he threw him into prison until he could pay what was owed. When we don't forgive others, not only do we throw them in prison, when we don't show grace to others, we put ourselves there. We allow that angerness and bitterness to build up into us that it becomes to rule us. That's the problem. Showing that grace and mercy, that bitterness sets into our hearts, and it changes you as a person. I've seen that happen many, many times. It'll destroy us. And it'll cost us more than anything we could ever imagine. It continues in verse 31. When the other servants saw what had taken place, they were deeply distraught. And they went and reported to the master everything that had happened. Then after he had summoned him, his master said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all your debts. You begged me. Shouldn't you also have mercy on your fellow servants, as I had mercy on you?" And because he was angry, his master handed him over to the jailer to be tortured until he could pay everything that was owed. And let me tell you, he'll never be able to pay that. He'll spend eternity in there. He will never be free. When we don't forgive others, we will never be free. That bitterness will always be there. That freedom that can only be found from the cross of Jesus will never be there for us until we let go. And in Matthew 18:35 it says, "So also my heavenly Father will do to you, unless every one of you forgives his brother or sister from your heart." Jesus tells us that we have to forgive others, that we need to show grace. There's a story I read recently that I can't fathom how this lady did it. But she understood grace. There was a woman named Mrs. Hawkins, and she completely stunned a courtroom in Grand Rapids, Michigan, with her words to a double murderer named Vincent Rodriguez Ortiz. This young man was 23 years old. And in a twisted situation, he ended up shooting her 17-year-old son. I can't imagine the pain in which she is feeling at that moment in time. I can't imagine what she's going through at the fact that her son is dead at this other man's hands. And she explained through her testimony that the shooting had devastated her. But she told him, "In order to get through this process, I had to forgive you. And I had to forgive you from the bottom of my heart. Not just word service, but actually allow from the heart. It's so easy for us to forgive someone with a quick word. And it's easy to forgive someone with a little white lie. But when they've seriously wronged us, letting that bitterness and anger go from our hearts, allowing that grace to pour out, that's difficult." How many of us could honestly say we could sit there in the courtroom and do that? I'd like to say I could, but I don't know. I've never been in that situation. And I pray I never have to. I pray none of you ever have to. Showing grace, by the way, does not mean that you approve of what someone else did. It doesn't mean pretending that the evil never took place. It doesn't mean making excuses for other people's bad behavior. It doesn't mean justifying evil so that somehow the sin becomes less. It doesn't mean overlooking abuse. It doesn't mean turning it into the police. It doesn't mean denying the hurt that someone has put you through. It doesn't mean letting others walk all over you. It doesn't mean forgetting what was done, pretending you were never hurt. It doesn't mean that the relationship's going to be restored to the way it was before. It doesn't mean that you have to be best friends with that person anymore. It doesn't mean that there has to be total reconciliation as if nothing ever happened. It doesn't mean that you have to tell the person that you forgave them even. It doesn't mean that all the negative consequences of sin are canceled. But I can tell you what it does mean. It does mean that you're handing it over to God. It does mean that you're releasing it and no longer holding on to it yourself. Not letting the pain continue to be there. And it does mean that you gain your freedom back. Forgiveness is a decision made on the inside to refuse to live in the past. It's a choice to release others from the sin that they've done against you. It doesn't deny the pain, but it does break the cycle of bitterness. Forgiveness allows you to let go and move on. And you can forgive when the other person has done nothing to earn the forgiveness. So often in our society today, we look at it as, well, they haven't come and made it right with me. They have not come up and apologized to me. That's not what the Bible says we're supposed to do. We're to forgive out of grace. You forgive a person and they may never even know about it. You can forgive because forgiveness is a matter of the heart. And you know what? I know some of you here are still saying, Tim, but you don't understand how they hurt me. And again, I say, you're right, I don't. But are you at least willing to hand it over to Jesus? Are you at least willing to try to make it right? You know, it tells us the day that Jesus went on the cross, and as he's hanging there and the Roman soldiers are there, he cried out, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. So often these people who have hurt us don't know what they're doing. And they're asking, release that for yourself. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to worship. Father, I ask for that grace and that mercy today for each one here. Any bitterness, any anger that they're holding on to, Father, I ask that they just release it. If that's any of you here today who are holding on to a bitterness or an anger, and you're ready to hand it over to Jesus today, just put your hand up. Allow God to know that you're done with it. You're done with it. Father, I want to thank you for each person who made that decision today. Father, I ask for freedom from that grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.